How are you guys this morning? You good? It's lucky to be with you guys. This morning, if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be looking at Luke 4 and verses 1 to 14. And I don't know if you've noticed this before, but there's a transition that takes place between verse 1 and verse 14. Have you ever noticed that before? There's something amazing that happens. So if we go and look at that scripture, the first thing that we notice is that when Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, he had just been baptized, and as he came out of the water, the voice of God says, "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased." So there he's full of the Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He takes him out into the desert. Who wants the Holy Spirit leading them out into the desert? I don't. Desert's not normally a good place. But it's a place where things can change. Because it's like a pressure cooker. And so meat that's hard can be soft, made soft. And then if we go down to verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Not just full, in the power of the Spirit. So this morning I want to look at that transition from being full, which is great. Being full is great. But in the power of is wonderful. We can begin to see God move in a powerful way in our lives. And so let's look at that. We see Jesus being led by the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the Holy Spirit, one of his names is Comforter? He comforts us. And there's a tapestry in the UK where there's this bishop and he's prodding the troops in front of him as they try and run away. He prods them, Bishop Odin. Go and look in Google, just in case I'm wrong, but I know I'm not wrong. He's prodding them from the back to stop them running away. And guys, the word comfort was actually changed. The meaning of comfort was, the actual meaning is that the comforter is someone who pushes you into more, but he walks alongside you at the same time. He doesn't leave you on your own, but he doesn't allow you to back off as well. And so we are those that are being pushed forward. If we are being led by the Spirit, pushed forward, led by the Spirit into what he has for us, God is going to do some things in our life. Don't resist what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so we see in this, Jesus gets tempted in every way that we are tempted. It wasn't, he was the Son of God, so nothing happened to him. No, the Word tells us in Hebrews that he was tempted in every way that he could be tempted. And so we are on the same footing as Jesus, as the devil leads us out. And so he begins the beginning of his ministry. This is the start of his ministry when he comes out of the desert. And what Mark then led in Luke 5 is the story of what begins to happen. So when you pray, most of us pray, "Oh Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit." Do you pray that? If you don't, start. "Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit." But the problem is, that doesn't mean all your problems are going away. They're just about to start. Because when you're filled, you're going into the desert because the comforter is actually taking you. It's not that he's going to walk ahead of you and leave you behind. No, he's taking you with him. He's prodding you. He's saying, "You can't run away. I've got you now, and we're going into this desert." So to take us from full to power, we must be put into some tests. So the devil normally uses three avenues, and we see this is where the devil comes against Jesus and begins to test him in ways that he would like Jesus to be disqualified. But Jesus knows, "I'm here for a reason." He's actually here for all of us because he opened the way for us. But he's also there because the Father put him there with a purpose and a plan. And so we need to find that purpose and plan. And we need to, at the beginning of the year, one of the things that I felt God say to me is that we don't fight flesh and blood, but we fight principalities and powers. So what's that? It's not someone possessed by the devil, but it's the devil behind the person, the principality, the power. That's the thing we're fighting against. And so when you face up to someone and you can see what the devil is doing, you need to fight the principality and power behind that. Coming from my background, that wasn't what I did. I used to fight the flesh and blood and often got myself into trouble. And we need to know that we're fighting the right fight. So we fight every new... When we fight... We are. Who plays TV games out? Don't not put your hand up. I know lots of you do. Put your hands up. High up. You know, one of the seven things God hates is lying lips. When you win the game, you go to the next level, isn't it? Then you fight a stronger devil. And then you go to the next level and you fight a stronger devil. Well, if not, they are devils. They look like devils when I've seen them. I don't know why, but God's never interested me in those games. But my wife loves them. So we need to fight these victories so that we can go to the next level where God wants us. So it's, what is it? What happens to defeat the devil? We need to make right choices. Remember that when you're out there outside of these four walls and things happen, you have to make the right choices. To walk in the power of the Spirit, you need to make the right choices. When you make a wrong choice, it's not good. So when someone cuts you off with a car, make the right choice. So guys, we need to make the right choices. So Luke 4 and verse 2, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Would you be hungry? I tell you what, I don't know if I could have lasted 40 days. Just a quick story on fasting. When we first started out, we went to live in a little town on the south coast of KwaZulu-Natal called Scottsboro. And so when we lived there, we were like, we had gone there to support a church plant. And Patty was working as a waitress, and later on I became a chef. And so it was really tight for us. So at the end of every month, we used to dread the fact that if we haven't got the money, the estate agent's going to phone us and ask us for that money. So this one month, we just didn't have money for the rent. And so I said to Patty, I said, I'm going to fast until that money comes in. So I started fasting. And guys, for me to fast is another next level. If that's taken me to about five levels up. But I fasted one day. I fasted the next day. I got to three. I was just drinking water with a little bit of orange juice to keep my sugar level up. And I got... to the seventh day. Now, in those days, I don't know if it's still the same. If you didn't pay your rent by the seventh day, you were in trouble. That was like cut-off time. And so the phone rings. In those days, there were no cell phones. It was this phone like this. The phone rings, and Patty picks up the phone, and she hears it's the agent on the other side. So she just says, "Babe, it's the agent." And she said to the agent, "Clive, Roland's going to talk to you." That's how you protect your husband, by the way. You just tell him to wake up and get on with it. So I grab the phone, and my heart is pounding because I think we got a problem because we haven't even started to collect rent. We've used the money that we got for food. We had a little boy, he was a couple of months old, and we were in a desperate place. And so he says, "Roland." I said, "Here's Clive." So I just phoned to tell you your rent was paid on the 3rd. I said, no ways. Why did you let me fast for an extra 4 days here? Yo. So rely on God, not people. We need to make right choices. We need to follow the example of Jesus and not the world. Guys, we need to do this. If we want to walk in the fullness and not just being full, I would think a lot of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. But if I ask you, are you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you seeing things happen that you haven't seen happen before? Or are you like taken back by everything that you see? So we see the first thing that he is tempted with is taste. It's appetite. So we see the first thing is he causes doubt. If you could just go up a bit, the next bunch. And at the end of them, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. Now, Jesus got an opportunity to make a right choice or a wrong choice. He can eat the bread or he can speak the word. And so we see Jesus, not only does he say no, but he says no for you and me as well. Because he says, I'm not going to eat this bread because I'm going to provide this bread for my people into the future. It's not selfish sufficiency. It's not taking care of yourself. And so he could have said no, and we may have missed out. So he was challenging Jesus to meet his own needs. Jesus said, I came to give myself, not to take, but to give. I wonder if you're sitting here this morning and you're in that place where you come to church on a Sunday and you go to Com on a Wednesday and you have a brown a Tuesday and then you have fellowship on a Friday, have coffee with someone. So you do all the things that the elders ask you to do. Do you do that? And so you're giving and you're receiving from those that you're with, and you get here on a Sunday and the Lord gives you something to share. He says, I want you to go and I want you to tell this person that. And you know what? We're all nervous, and I want to tell you, if I give you a word today or we pray for you, I want to tell you that I could easily miss it. But the word says the prophetic is to encourage, to exhort, and to comfort. Those are the boundaries. Not you shall not make it out the back door. No, if you don't feel encouraged, if you don't feel exhorted, exhorted is sometimes a word we're not sure about. It means, hey, come on, man, God has got this for you. But it's encouraging and comforting if you're in that place where the Holy Spirit puts his arm around you and says, come, we're moving forward. We're not staying where we are. Some people stay in a place of self-pity. They don't want to move on because they want to stay in that place where everyone says, oh, I'm sorry, I feel so bad for you. No, self-pity is not from God. Do you know that? We've done deliverance on a few people, and when you come against that thing of self-pity, there's normally manifestations that take place. Normally. I don't feel that today. I don't know if there's anyone here like that. I know when I was used to go to church and sit in the seats, when they start saying, oh, with this and that, I'll start looking at my shoes. So I'm watching. If you look down, it's going to be dangerous. Everything that Satan, the devil, suggests is justifiable and reasonable. That's why we can't look with observation. That's why we can't look with information. I'm receiving information. No, we need to be looking with revelation so that we can operate in wisdom. In the book of Ephesians, it says, I'll give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need to be those people. So Luke 4 and verse 5, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It was given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So the first thing that he goes for is the thing of sight, of what you can see. Like when I walked in here this morning, I've got a little baby Audi called a TT. But when I saw Mark's car, when I walked in here, I thought, oh man, Lord, tell him to give that to me. So Mark, can you stand up? When we see what we want, make sure that we don't allow our stuff to be diverted from what God has got for us. So, two, stay focused. It says this morning as we were coming along the highway, and it said, oh, there's a road closure. You have to go a different way. So we put Apple Play on or whatever, and Patty was driving. She always drives before I preach. Otherwise, I'm so, like, losing my concentration. But so we're watching this thing, and I say, okay, babes, 200 meters. Then she's gone past the road. Babe, 200 meters, not 1 kilometer. Go back to the route, reroute. So let's not miss the turns. Let's not miss it. Did you have anything for beauty? No. Okay. So he looks at sight. The temptation to worship the prince of this world is not to be taken lightly. I just felt that is really important for Seapoint Church. Not to lose your focus, but to keep your focus on what God has got for you. The temptation to compromise. And compromise is not, oh, I'm not going to church this morning. I'm not happy with Jesus. So the devil said to him, there's a shortcut. Who likes shortcuts? Hey? These days, what you pay for petrol, it's good to go on a shortcut. There's a shortcut to sitting on the throne. So the seduction of power for Jesus was to exchange power over the world for submission to the devil. Verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. The devil tries to distort the word of God. Just what I've spoken about. You can be praying, two or three are gathered, and the devil's like, that's not the word. I don't have to listen. Make sure that when you pray, when you're fighting those principalities and powers, make sure you are in the context of the word that you're using. The word, you need to be using the word and not your own stuff. Be sure that you're in that place. Because if you step outside of that and you begin to work in your own strength, or, hey, I'm so good, I can do this. I'm fortunate that I've never been in the place in ministry of, I'm so good, I can do this, simply because I actually don't know how I do this. to be honest. I know everyone says I'm an introvert, but actually I am. But planting a church in Nelspruit, I had to get out of that lie. Because being introverted is actually a lie from the devil. Extroverted, all those things, people put them on you. You are not that. You are a child of God, able to walk into everything that He has for you. Distortion, truthfulness. It's the most dangerous form of temptation because the devil will just twist what he says. Make sure that you get what you say when it comes out of Scripture. Make sure that it's what the Word actually says. Be like Jesus, where He said, "It is written." And so we see Him making these right choices. We see Him not finding Himself in a place of doubt. There's three D's. He's not finding a place in the place of deviation. He's not deviated. And He doesn't allow distortion. I don't know, who of you were old enough to see the Standard Bank advert when the lady in the little beetle with no top was driving down the road? Do you remember that? And so while she's driving down the road, there's this little bee that comes. And she's like trying to hit this thing. And while she's trying to hit it, she's going off the road. And she's going through, eventually she's going off the road and she hits a tree. Don't allow yourself to be deviated by those little bees and find yourself smacked up against a tree. Make sure you're setting your eyes on the right thing. So here we go again. And when the devil, verse 13, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. That's another thing, guys. Jesus has put the devil to flight, but the devil's still waiting for an opportunity. You need to know this. The devil is waiting for an opportunity. You don't have to be afraid or scared, but no, be aware. Don't let your guard down. Be aware. Be aware of the words that you have come out of your mouth. It's a way to open the door for the devil. If you drop the ball, you are more than welcome. Well, you should repent and say, "Hey, Lord, I'm sorry that I opened my mouth and I allowed junk to come out of it." And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. So the way, and if you look at full of the Spirit, it's just full, overflowing. I remember the first time I came and ministered in the City Bowl. Mark and Dion and Kim were still in that congregation in those days. And Ryan was really opened a door for me. He said, "Hey, come in and minister in the church." And so we came there and I had this thing. God had given me this illustration. You put something for the bucket to stand on, then you put the bucket, and then you put the vase, which was clear, so you could see what was going on inside of it. And then you fill it up with table tennis balls. So I was stupid. I forgot about the fact that as you pour the water in, everything gets heavier. And so I was pouring it in, and the balls were coming to the top, and they were popping out, and I was thinking, wow. But as they pop out as well, the water pops out, and it fills the basin at the bottom as well, and the next minute, voila, the thing breaks, the glass breaks, there's a table tennis balls going all over the place, and it was like a thing that happened. Everyone that day, just the Holy Spirit came on them at that moment. It had nothing to do with me. I didn't plan that, I can promise you, and everyone started getting touched by the Holy Spirit. It was a thing of God, not a thing of Roland or anyone else. I remember Mark. I won't go there, I'll just give a little giggle. Dion's quite funny too, and Kim. I love it when people want to move into everything God has for them. So these temptations move Jesus from full of the Spirit to in the power of the Spirit. Are you sitting out this morning, you want to walk in the power of the Spirit? So you're thinking, how do I get there? How do I get there? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. When you're walking in love, you're going to walk in power. Joy, when you're walking in joy, when you're walking in peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, there's not going to be any power if the guy cuts you off and you're angry. No self-control, no gentleness. Lord, help me to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. It says, against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we keep in step with the Spirit. So those things, we're keeping in step with the Spirit. We're guarding those things in our life. We see three of them with Jesus, but there are nine fruits. And we need to walk in those things. And it's Paul that wrote about those fruits. And so we see Paul in 1 Corinthians 2. Sorry, I didn't give you this. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 to 5. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In the power of God. Now, this is the same guy that wrote the book of Galatians, where the fruits of the Spirit are. What happens when we walk in the fruits of the Spirit? They think we have to grow. They don't just get given to us. What gets given to us? The gifts of the Spirit. So when we're walking in the fruits of the Spirit, God gives us the gifts of the Spirit. And then we can begin to be those people that can walk up to someone and say, I've got a word for you. I was preparing this week and I actually wrote down a couple of things that I felt God wanted me to share with you guys, besides what I was preaching on. They're much more exciting. Do you believe that you can only get prophetic words on the spur of the mount of the moment? I really believe that the Lord is saying to you, He's going to turn your world upside down. He's going to give you the right key for the right lock, that you may unlock what God is giving you to do in your life. You won't be straight. Have you ever tried to use a wrong key in a wrong lock? It just doesn't work. And sometimes God has to turn you upside down so that the key will fit the lock that He has given you. And so I'm believing that that is for you. You're thinking, I always check with my wife because she sometimes gets words that I really feel this morning as well. As a congregation, the Lord wants us to launch out, especially in the place of physical healing. And so I'm not going to walk around and pray for every one of you. I want you to accept the fact that I really feel that God wants to do that this morning. So if you need healing, I've had so much healing in my life. The last thing was a triple bypass. Think, oh, how can He have that? Yes, I did. But God has brought me to the place where I'm living as I lived before. And that's only taken a lot of prayer. I remember when they cut your chest open, your whole chest is weakened, obviously. And I was washing a mat at home, and I'd put surf on there. Who knows what surf is? It's not the thing you do in the sea. I put surf on there, and I was busy washing it, and it gets very slippery. And I turned to walk around into the house, and I slipped, and I landed on the rail of the sliding door. And it broke at least two or three of my ribs. Because there isn't the strength that a normal person has. And so I lived with this for like two or three weeks. I was in serious pain. I was still having to preach. And I remember once I had to preach twice on a Sunday. It was really difficult. But it became my birthday. Do you want to come tell some of the story?
We need to tell the story quickly. So Roland was really struggling. He wasn't sleeping at night. He was in great pain. And it was his birthday 3 weeks later, and I'd arranged a little surprise coffee date for him with a couple of our friends. And that evening, we were going to go up and have coffee and cake with our friends. And I said to him, I was trying to coerce him to get there without telling him. And he just said to me, I said, we just need to pop out for 5 minutes. And he just said to me, I'm in such pain. I can't go anywhere. You'll have to cancel. And I'd arranged like half the church to be giving him a little surprise birthday party. And I said to him, you've got to go. And eventually he said, I can't go. So I had to let the cat out the bag and say to him, well, actually, we've arranged a little birthday party for you. Please, you have to come. Anyway, I dragged him along and he was like, I'm going to be there for 5 minutes. I'm leaving. I can't do this. He was in such pain. And we get to the birthday party, and as in great Josh Jen fashion, when it's your birthday, what do? We have tea and cake and pray over you. And so he was sitting in a chair and he was pale, and we got around him and we were praying for him, and one of the guys, he's actually quite a big guy, I heard this like small little prayer, like, Lord, it was just a bit funny because he was this huge guy, but this little voice came out, Lord, please won't you heal Roland? And then the guys were prophesying over Roland, and I saw that Roland's like manner changed, and he like wasn't in such a rush to go home. And I said to him, are you okay? And he didn't say anything to me. And we carried on, we got in the car, and I said to him, are you okay? And he was like, yeah, actually, I'm fine. And I was like, what happened? And then he didn't say too much about it. And then the next morning, I said to him, babe, what's going on? And he said, the Lord has totally healed me. The pain, he was living on heavy painkillers because the pain was so bad. The pain was totally gone. It didn't have to be a great big prayer. It was just this one guy with his tiny little prayer. The Lord can do all sorts of things.
And the amazing thing was, after the operation, I couldn't lift my hands above my head. I got into church that Sunday after the Lord had healed me, and gave double. You need to expect it of God.